Today, we celebrate the last Sunday after the Epiphany, also known as Transfiguration Sunday. Now, the curious thing about the Transfiguration, it is an event that we celebrate twice during our church year. August 6th is actually the Feast of the Transfiguration. Now today, we read the story of the Transfiguration as a hinge point in our church year. From this time, we are at a turning point where we are putting behind us a time in which we have studied and read and talked about the various times throughout Scripture where Jesus has been recognized for who he truly is, the Messiah. Now, sometimes those moments have been a little bit more direct and a lot more aha. And then there's been other times, such as when he's preaching in the synagogue, where people recognize him for more than what he appears, but they're not quite ready to say he's the anointed one. But today, we have this wondrous story in which Jesus takes three of his most trusted and beloved apostles, and he brings them with him to the top of a mountain. And once there, we are told how he is transfigured, that he becomes like this glowing light and his clothes are made whiter than white. You know, it's sort of like that annoying Tide commercial that kept on happening throughout the Super Bowl. But, you know, it's like there's this magnificent part, and of course, he's there with Moses and Elijah, and the apostles are dumbstruck. And we have Peter not knowing what else to say because, as it tells us, he's scared. He starts rambling about how we need to build tents for everybody. But for just a moment, I'd like you to put aside this vision of a mountaintop, or of Jesus shining as a bright light, or Peter stumbling all over himself. And think about this next part, where they hear from above the voice of God. And God tells them three things. This is my son, my beloved, listen to him. Now, in the Gospel of Mark, there are three times in which Jesus is recognized as the Son of God. The first time we read a few weeks ago when we read about his baptism. But in that scenario, in that scene, it's Jesus alone who hears the voice of God when he comes out of the water, and he hears the voice of God saying something very similar. You are my son, my beloved, and with you I am well pleased. But today, God is sharing this message one more time, but this time, to witnesses. He wants them to know that you're right to be following this person. This is my son, the Messiah. He wants them to know how important Jesus is that here we talk about the beloved, the most loved. But it's the third part that's very important here. Listen to him. You notice how God doesn't say, you know, praise him. He doesn't say, worship him. He doesn't say, look how how impressive his white clothes are. He tells them to listen to him. He wants, you know, Jesus all the time, he's been wanting people to pay attention to the good news he's preaching. I mean, from the very beginning of the book of Mark, we're told this is the good news of Jesus Christ. And Jesus wants us to hear the message. And throughout all this time, he tries to get past all the people coming to him for miracles and telling his apostles to be quiet about this and be quiet about that. He wants them to share the message, and that is a message of hope, a message of love, a message of redemption. He wants them to know that the promise of God has been fulfilled in him and is still being fulfilled. He wants them to know how important it is for them to focus their love on God. He wants them to know that they are loved. And most important of all, that they need to share that love. Part of the good news is the importance about going out and proclaiming all this wonder. The true miracle, which is the story of a God who loves us so much, was willing to do whatever it took to bring us back. That yes, the miracles are important, but what's most important here is the good news. So listen to him. As I said, this is a hinge point between the season of the Epiphany, this time of Jesus being revealed, where we started with kings showing up to pay him homage, and where we're ending on top of a mountain, seeing the glory. But now we're turning towards Lent and to a time in the desert. They have been brought up to the mountaintop. And it's a glorious moment. But this is not where the story ends. It can't end there. They have to go down to the valley. They have to go through the desert. They have to start the journey now towards Jerusalem. And this is where we begin our own journey with Jesus towards the cross. We've been to the highest place. Now we're being called to follow Jesus through the desert to his lowest moment. Because for us to truly be glorified in Christ, we must first come to the foot of the cross. We must leave the safety places and travel with Jesus. Now, this Wednesday, we begin our Lenten fast with Ash Wednesday. And it's a time in which we are called through prayer, through meditation, through self-sacrifice, through fasting, to clear away those things that get in our way of our relationship with God. It's a time in which we are called to renew our relationship with Jesus. So we come down from the mountaintop and we begin this journey. But fortunately, we don't have to do it alone. We never have to do anything alone in the church, because we know Christ is always going to be with us. And that is part of the message. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. God loves you. Now go out and spread that love to other people.